Welcome to the Hope Community Sunday Podcast for the weekend of July 19, week 6 of our exploration of the Old Testament prophetic book Ezekiel. I'm Dan Nygaard. Ezekiel was born into the priesthood of the temple in Jerusalem. Before he came of age to serve as a priest, Jerusalem submitted to the Babylonian Empire. About the year 605 BCE, before the Christian era, Nebuchadnezzar, the crown prince of the Babylonian Empire, took into exile some of the elite from Jerusalem, as well as he took some of the wealth from the temple of Jerusalem. Among the hostages taken to Babylon were Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You can read about them in the book of Daniel. And Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a hostage of the Babylonian Empire. Ezekiel lived in exile in Babylon. Ezekiel was totally cut off from his purpose in life. Born into a priestly family, he was raised, he was educated, he was trained to be a priest in the temple of Jerusalem. But now he was in exile, hundreds of miles to the east in Babylon, without purpose and probably without hope. The book of Ezekiel opens with that priest seeing a vision of God Almighty, of Yahweh, of the I Am, surrounded by four cherubim. Ezekiel is called to be a watchman for Israel. Ezekiel is given prophetic message after prophetic message. He experiences amazing vision. Yet every message, every vision, foretold the doom of Jerusalem, of the temple, of the state of Israel. To understand the book of Ezekiel, we must understand that while Ezekiel and hundreds, a couple of thousand others, were exiled in Babylon, the vast majority of the people of Jerusalem and Judah around Jerusalem remained living in the land of promise. Life went on much as it had before. Babylon had taken the king of Jerusalem into exile, but they had put his uncle on the throne of Jerusalem. As long as Jerusalem sent annual tribute to Babylon, Babylon pretty much left that kingdom alone to rule themselves. However, the tribute they were required to pay every year was bankrupting the kingdom. And so the king that Babylon had put on the throne entered into an alliance with other vassal states of Babylon to rebel against the Babylonian Empire. Well, the empire struck back. 590 BCE, the king of Jerusalem, Zedekiah, joined the rebellion against the Babylonian Empire. 588 BCE, Nebuchadnezzar, who was now king of Babylon, laid siege to Jerusalem. The military and the people of Jerusalem held fast against the siege. They had strong walls there in Jerusalem. They anticipated, they hoped, they were told that other vassal states that rebelled against Babylon would come and defend them. Of course, no one came. And after about 2 years of siege, King Zedekiah realized the situation was hopeless, and he tried to flee Jerusalem with his family and government officials. Zedekiah did not get far. The Babylonian cavalry captured him and his entire family. Now a captive of Babylon, Zedekiah was forced to witness the execution of every one of his own sons. The Babylonian Empire decimated the royal lineage. Zedekiah was then blinded and taken captive into Babylon. The city of Jerusalem was not only conquered, it was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. The kingdom of Israel was literally and actually a ruin. The population was either taken into captivity in Babylon or dispersed far, far away. Learning of this news, the exiles in Babylon adopted the logical conclusion that the kingdom of Israel, their nation, was finished. It was no more. It was a hopeless cause. The destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, provoked what is perhaps Ezekiel's most famous vision. If you have your Bible or your smartphone, turn with me to the Old Testament prophetic book Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 6. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath into you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Heavenly Father, in these next few minutes, we pray that Jesus alone be glorified. The God of the Bible, Yahweh, the great I Am, the one who sits on a throne surrounded by cherubim and surrounded by thousands of angels, asked the priest prophet Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I responded, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." In Ezekiel's vision, he was taken by the Lord to a valley full of dry bones. This vision revealed to Ezekiel the hard truth that the kingdom and civilization of Israel was already long dead. With the conquest of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple and the dispersal of the population, the only logical socio-political conclusion is that the kingdom of Israel was gone. It could not possibly bring itself back into existence. This vision of the valley of dry bones was a vision of Israel's spiritual and now Israel's social-political reality. After showing Ezekiel this valley of dry bones and actually leading Ezekiel through the bones, Yahweh commands this priest prophet to prophesy to the dry bones. Prophecy, biblical prophecy, is speaking God's message to God's target audience. In this case, God's target audience was a valley of dry bones. I can imagine Ezekiel saying, "Well, what should I prophesy? Well, does it matter? They're just dry bones. I'll just start prophesying." Ezekiel 37, verse 4, God says to the priest prophet, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Jerusalem, the kingdom, the nation of Israel, was a dead thing. It was a dried up entity, just like this valley of dry bones. Chapter 11, Ezekiel records his vision of the glory of the Lord leaving the temple in Jerusalem. God had already left the nation, the kingdom, the city of Jerusalem, the temple, because the people had left God. In chapters 8 through 11 of Ezekiel, the prophet has a revelation of how the relationship between Yahweh and the nation state of Israel was beyond repair. God called the temple in Jerusalem defiled. God had left the building. The people of Jerusalem and of Israel had long ago died spiritually. The most recent news of the temple's destruction put an exclamation point on how morally corrupt, how dead the kingdom was. The divine vision given to Ezekiel that Israel, the people of God, were dead, dried up. But get this, to this dead valley, to these dry bones, God commands Ezekiel, prophesy, proclaim the word of the Lord. And so Ezekiel prophesies, and he hears a great clattering as the bones begin to pound and bang up against one another, and tinew and flesh and muscle and skin begin to wrap around these bones, and these bones covered with human flesh stood up. And yet, they stood up as dead corpses. They had no life. They had no vigor. In his vision, Ezekiel witnessed a miracle, but it was a miracle of no consequence. But God goes on. He commands Ezekiel, prophesy to the spirit. Verse 9, chapter 37, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. And miraculously, these standing corpses become living human beings. Now, when God had asked Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones, son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel could have responded very logically with a no, they can't. But Ezekiel knows that he is dealing with the great Creator God. And so Ezekiel offers a rather shrewd response. You know, Lord. Likely Ezekiel realized God was up to something. And so Ezekiel refused to box God in by human logic. And Ezekiel experiences the great hope of the Bible. God brings the dead to life. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 12 through 14. This is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Jerusalem has been conquered, the temple destroyed, the royal family, the descendants of King David have been killed to the last man. From a human point of view, the kingdom of Israel was no more, had no possible prospects. But God promised to restore the kingdom. God raised up a king and an empire that overthrew the Babylonian Empire, the Empire of Persia, modern-day Iran. And that king who overthrew the Babylonian Empire told the Israel exiles in Babylon that they could return to their homeland. They could rebuild the city of Jerusalem, build its walls back. They could rebuild their temple. And he even supplied them finances from the royal treasury. About 70 years after Israel first became a vassal state of Babylon, a remnant of the people of Israel who had lived in exile in Babylon for about 70 years returned to the land of promise. They rebuilt Jerusalem. They rebuilt the walls. They rebuilt the temple. God brings the dead back to life. 500 years later, Jesus from Nazareth walked the city streets of Jerusalem that had been rebuilt by the exiles from Babylon. But sadly, those descendants of the exiles did not recognize God coming to them. They rejected Jesus. They crucified Jesus. About 40 years later, the Romans came and destroyed utterly the city of Jerusalem and tore down the temple, leaving not one stone upon another. The exiles, who were now known as Jews, were cast out of the promised land. They were not allowed to live in the land between the Jordan and the sea. For nearly 2,000 years, the Jewish people had no homeland. They lived, if you will, in a valley of dry bones. Then miraculously, 1900 years after the Romans destroyed Israel, the state of Israel rose from the ashes, rose, if you will, from dry bones. The great hope, the great promise of the Bible is that our God can miraculously restore what everyone knows is dead and dried up. God displayed his great power by not once, but twice restoring the kingdom of Israel, the state of Israel. God can miraculously restore what we know to be ashes and hopeless. Miraculous Holy Spirit revival is available for us. Miraculous Holy Spirit revival is available for our culture, for our civilization. Miraculous Holy Spirit revival requires repentance. Miraculous Holy Spirit revival is available for your loved ones who seem to have rejected God, rejected Christ. They have gone their own way. They make fun of you. They belittle your beliefs. They break your heart. The world says to you, it's hopeless. They'll never come back. Ezekiel's vision of the valley of dry bones is for you. Ezekiel's vision of the valley of dry bones is for our American culture. God has the power to restore. God has the power to give life where there is only death. God has the power to bring the Holy Spirit and revive, restore, renew your loved ones, our culture, our community, our churches, our nation. This vision of a valley of dry bones is one of the most hopeful visions in all the Bible. But we must take note of what God commanded Ezekiel. Speak the word of the Lord. This is the challenge of the valley of dry bones. God's people are to speak God's word even when the situation looks hopeless. Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 4, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now I know you think, well, I'm not a prophet, and Ezekiel was called to be a prophet. He had these visions. I've never had any visions like that. I've never heard God speak in any audible way to me. Okay, but you have the word of the Lord. It's called the Bible. Speak scripture to your neighbor. Speak scripture to your loved ones. Speak scripture to one another in church, speak scripture to other Christians. When we start speaking scripture to one another, we may be surprised to suddenly find ourselves speaking prophetically, carried along by the urging of the Holy Spirit. Oh, you may never experience a vision of dry bones. You may never experience a vision of God on his throne surrounded by the four cherubim. But remember, God said to Ezekiel, "Speak to those dry bones. Speak the word of the Lord to your relations, to your children, to your friends, to your neighbors who seem to be spiritually dead. Speak the word of the Lord." As you speak scripture to them, as you pray for them, you may, you probably will experience a prophetic urging where God gives you special words to say at just the right time. But you must note, God did not act miraculously in that valley of dry bones until Ezekiel spoke. It wasn't the words Ezekiel said that raised up the dry bones. It wasn't the words of Ezekiel that brought life back into those standing corpses. God did that, but God did not act until Ezekiel prophesied. Speak the word of the Lord to your neighbors, to your co-workers, to your loved ones, to your children who are far from God. You may well find yourself speaking prophetically. And as was said last week during Q&A, we should, as believers, have a carefully crafted 90-second elevator pitch that communicates our personal experience with the God of Ezekiel, the God of the Bible, that recounts how God has brought us into everlasting life. God alone brings the dead back to life, but God waits for his people to speak the word of the Lord.